It's your choice, and the consequences for disobedience is death. Adam and Eve had the gift of choice. That choice is passed down through all mankind, through all time, and it's still in effect today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess. See, it's our choice. If we confess, God will forgive us. But the choice is up to us. As I thought about that and the idea that everybody, since Adam and Eve were created right to the end of time, everybody has choice, it occurred to me that all the people involved in this Christmas story and the events of the birth of Christ, they all had choice. The shepherds could have chosen to not believe the angels. I mean, after all, it was unbelievable. They could have chosen to not believe Him and never gone to seek out the Christ child. The wise men could have chosen to ignore the star. I'm sure there were others who just tried to explain it. There are people today who are explaining it as just a supernova. Well, they could have just decided it was a supernova and ignored it and not gone to seek the Christ child. But there's a couple of other people that I want to talk about today involved in that story, Mary and Joseph. We don't often think about too much, especially about Mary, but listen, they each had a choice of whether or not they wanted to be involved with the birth of Christ. Mary was chosen by God to be the mother of the Christ child. I want to read Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Verses 34 and 35 of the same chapter say, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now that was a great honor for Mary, and that's usually what we think about when we think of Mary, how honored and favored she was to be chosen by God. But listen, Mary had a choice. And when God spoke to her and told her that He had chosen her to be the mother of the Christ child, it presented for Mary some difficult problems. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Now, a betrothal, we usually explain it as an engagement, but that's not accurate. Mary and Joseph were married. The Bible calls Joseph Mary's husband. A betrothed couple were legally married. The only difference was they did not live together and they had not consummated physically the marriage. The betrothal period could last for up to a year. During that time, the groom prepared a place for him and his bride to live. Usually it was a room, an addition to the home of his father, but it could be other places. When the place was ready, he would come to get his bride. That would be when the marriage celebration, the marriage feast would take place. They probably would exchange some sort of vows then as sort of a religious ceremony. And then she would go back with her groom to live together in his home, and they would consummate the marriage, and that's when they would begin and go forward. Mary was pregnant during the betrothal period. If she said yes, she's going to wind up with child during the betrothal period. Now that means a couple of things. In the eyes, at least, of everybody else, and I mean everybody else, including Joseph. Either she was immoral, and she had been with somebody else, and of course, in the eyes of everybody else other than Joseph, Mary and Joseph had come together, or she was an adulteress. Society has changed. The attitudes of society has changed quite a bit. If Mary was immoral, if Joseph and Mary had come together before the marriage, it would be a scandal. Mary would be ridiculed. She would be scorned by society. They would be regarded as outcast, even in some places. We can't fully understand that because we have relaxed our attitude toward premarital sex to the point where it's almost expected of young people today. Young people, I want to tell you something. God doesn't expect it. God expects us to be chaste until we're married. But for Mary, it would have been a great scandal and great public ridicule and scorn. If she was an adulteress, punishment for adultery was death by stoning. So when God came to, we think, oh, what a wonderful blessing. Mary must have felt so good. When God came to Mary and said, I've chosen you to be the mother of my son, it meant scorn, ridicule, and possible death. And she had a choice. She could have said no. I know there are some who regard Mary as divine, and that she was so much a part of the plan of God from the very beginning that she had no choice. That was her only purpose being created. Mary wasn't the only virgin in society at that time. Mary wasn't the only godly virgin in the society at that time. God chose her because she was a godly young woman. But she could have said no, and he could have chosen somebody else. God chose Mary. He did not force Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we have Mary's decision, and Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. Mary said, Okay, I'll do it. Now, I know when I say that, I know people think, some people think, well, she didn't have any choice. She had to do it. Of course she had a choice. That's why she told God, Okay, be it unto me as you have said. I'm submitting to you. Can I tell you what I wish would have happened at that moment? Did you notice the last words of that of verse 38? And the angel departed from her. You know, I wish the Bible, sounds terrible to say this, but I wish the Bible would have said, and the angel encouraged her. And the angel assured her that everything would be all right. And the angel told her not to worry about Joseph and being stoned, that he would come around. Isn't that what we want? When God calls us, especially as Christian people, and He and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, however it might happen, and God gives us an assignment. He chooses us for a work. And then if we say yes, and I say if because it's our choice, what we want then is for God to say, okay, now this is how it's going to happen, and this is the way it's going to work, and everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Does He ever do that? Mary said, okay, I'll take the risk. I'm risking my life here, God, but I'll do it. I'm risking my reputation, but I'll do it. I'm risking public scorn. Maybe my family may disown me, but I'll do it. Okay, and the angel departed. I wish it would have said something else. But the truth is, when God gives us a job, God expects us to say yes, and God expects us to trust Him. The righteous live by faith. Not assurance that everything's going to be all right, but trust, faith, that everything is going to be all right. Maybe God has asked you to do something that you think is dangerous. Maybe it is dangerous. Maybe it's risky. Maybe it'll take you away from your family or your friends. Maybe it'll cause you to leave Blackwell or leave Oklahoma or leave the country. I don't know. Maybe it'll just take you out of your comfort zone, just something that you hadn't ever been comfortable with, but God wants you to do it. But now listen, it's your choice. God chose you. He didn't force you. He won't force you. But because Mary said yes, because Mary's choice was submit to God, she was greatly blessed. And she blessed the world, all mankind, with the birth of the Son of God. All because she said, okay, so be it. The other person that had a choice and involved in this story is Joseph. Now, I got to tell you, I can relate a little more to Joseph than I can to Mary. I've never had a baby. I've had a kidney stone. They tell me it's about the same thing, but I don't know. Mary came to Joseph and she said, listen, honey. I'm pregnant. Joseph knew that the baby wasn't his, right? We know that because the baby was the Son of God. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, not another man, not Joseph. So when Mary came to Joseph and said, listen, I'm going to have a baby, he knew it wasn't his. And when she said, the Holy Ghost Joseph, the Holy Ghost has come upon me, and this child is the Son of God. And he didn't believe her. We like to think he did. We like to think everything was just fine for Joseph and Mary. Everything just went smoothly. There were just no problems. It was just like their whole life was just bathed in the soft glow, and everything was just beautiful. It wasn't. Joseph didn't believe Mary. You know how I know that? Because he decided to divorce her. I want you to notice what happened. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." He was going to get a very quiet divorce because he didn't believe that the child was the Son of God. He was probably angry. He probably felt betrayed. He probably wondered how in the world he could make such a colossal mistake in character judgment that he thought Mary was a nice girl. Maybe he went into momentary depression. I don't know what he went through, but he didn't believe her. And then came the words of verse 20, just the first words of verse 20, and it says, "But while he thought on these things." You know what those verses, those words tell us? That Joseph had a choice. While he was thinking about what to do, he had a choice. As her husband, and he was her husband, legally her husband, as her husband, and because he believed that she had committed adultery, he could have her stoned. He could follow the law. All he had to do was to bring her before the court and say, "Look, we're betrothed, she's pregnant, the baby's not mine." Pure and simple, over and done. She would be stoned, she would be killed, the baby would be killed, it'd all be over with. And may I tell you that most people in society at that time, most people expected Joseph to do that. That was the customary. That was following the law. You say, what about mercy and what about forgiveness? They followed the law. And the law said the punishment for adultery was death by stoning. You think society hasn't relaxed their attitude a little bit? Joseph could have divorced her. The Bible says that he was a just man. That means that he was a man of God. And because he was a man of God, he was a compassionate man. And he was a forgiving man. And he was a merciful man. And so he decided on the merciful thing. He couldn't marry an adulteress. He couldn't go through with the marriage. But he decided to divorce her. And he decided to do it quietly. He didn't want to embarrass her. That way Mary would live, the baby would live, their life would be difficult, she would be the responsibility of her parents if they would have anything to do with her, because now she's an adulteress. But at least they would be living, and Joseph would be free of the situation and free of the scandal. Everybody would pat him on the back, everybody would hug him around the neck. "Oh, Joseph, I'm so sorry. I know that's a terrible thing. Boy, you did the right thing, son. You did the right thing. That was very kind. I mean, he looked like a big man. So compassionate of you. You know, you could have just had her stoned, but you didn't do that. So wonderful. Joseph, you're such a great man of God. How wonderful." That's what he decided to do. But while he thought on these things, an angel of God came to him. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." The angel of God brought the message of God, and he said, "Joseph, it's the truth. She really is a virgin. The baby really is the Son of God. Go ahead. It's all right." I just wonder what Joseph thought. You know, I think I can guess a little bit, because don't we kind of sometimes negotiate with God when he tells us he wants us to do something? "Kevin, I want you to be the pastor of the Free Will Baptist Church." "Well, Lord, I've never done that before. I can't do that. My goodness, I've never preached. Why me? I'm not even a preacher. Call somebody that's a preacher, right? All these guys out here to announce the call to preach don't have churches to pastor in. Bring one of them. Why me?" Maybe it's you and God says, listen, I want you to teach a Sunday school class. Well, I can't teach. Isn't that what we always say? No matter what it is. Sometimes I think if God said, listen, I'd like for you to get out of bed this morning, we'd probably say, well, I can't get out of bed. Don't we always negotiate with God? Oh, okay, listen now, Lord, I'll teach a Sunday school class if it's just temporary. Or if somebody will help me. Or, Lord, I'll be a missionary, but if you just let me stay right here in Blackwell and tell people, you know, people in Blackwell are lost too. They need to hear the gospel message. I'll be a missionary, but let me keep my job and I'll be a missionary part-time right here in Blackwell. I'll do it, but we negotiate. I think Joseph may have negotiated with God. Now, Lord, if I marry her, it'll hurt my business. That's kind of hitting where it hurts, isn't it? Joseph was a carpenter. He didn't work for somebody else. He didn't get a paycheck. He worked for other people. And if he got jobs, he got paid. And if he married an adulteress, or if people thought him and Mary were immoral, well, those good Christians at the Free Will Baptist Church aren't going to give me any business anymore. Lord, it's going to hurt my business. And we'll be broke. I'll do it. But you have to promise me that we'll have plenty of money. Well, Lord, if I do that now, if I do that, my folks are going to think I'm a fool. So I'll do it. But now you've got to send your angel to my mom and dad and tell them what's going on. They won't believe me. I didn't believe Mary. I can hardly believe you. So you're going to have to send an angel. Well, now, Lord, if I do that, all of my friends will forsake me. All of my good buddies down at the synagogue, they won't want to have anything to do with me. So, listen, if I do this, you're going to have to straighten it out with them. You're going to have to make everything all right, God, if I do this. Joseph had a choice. I think he negotiated with God because we negotiate with God and people haven't changed a bit because people still have a choice. In verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1, we found Joseph's decision. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Okay, God, I'll do it. Listen, that was for Mary and Joseph both, the decision to submit to God was a life-changing decision. That's putting it mildly. It was a life-changing decision. And it was probably the hardest thing that either one of them had ever done in their life, to the end of their life. So I got to thinking about that too, and I thought, well, has God ever asked me, or has God ever asked you to do something that was difficult and life-changing? And you know, the answer is yes. He asked all of us to confess that we are sinners. That's difficult to do, isn't it? We don't like to admit we're wrong. We like to use that excuse, I had no choice, to excuse our behavior, whatever it might be. So to say, I am a sinner is difficult, but God's asked us to do that. God's commanded us to do that. And God said He wants us to repent. And to repent is to turn from sin and to God. So God wants us to stop living a lifestyle of sin and start living a lifestyle of righteousness. That's life-changing, right? Amen. So God has asked us to do something that is difficult and to do something that is life-changing. And the choice is ours. If we confess, God will forgive. But if we don't, He won't. If, Christian, if you want the blessings of God in your life, if you want that relationship with Jesus Christ that you see other Christians have, choose to completely submit to God. It's your choice. You want things to be different? Choose to be different. You want God to use you completely in His service? Choose to submit to Him. You want to go to heaven? Choose to confess your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you. Would you stand with me this morning? I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can. Sure, come to the piano, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Listen to me now. I'm really not trying to get on to anybody. I hope you understand that. I love you guys. But we like to blame things on other people and other things. We like to blame our decisions on the circumstances surrounding our life. But the truth is, we choose how we respond. We choose how we live. Christian, have you chosen to be absolutely, completely submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and obey His every word? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you know it. Will you choose to confess your sins and let God forgive you? You come while Sarah plays. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. Maybe you'd like to be saved this morning, and it's just a little embarrassing to come to the altar. I understand that. Man, I wish you'd come. We'd love to pray with you. But right where you stand, you can be saved if you want to, if you'll make that choice. If you would, just simply pray this prayer. Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins and come into my life. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you slip your hand up? Nobody's looking but me. Nobody. I won't call your name. But it's just a testimony to what you've done. Quickly, would you slip your hand up? Anyone? Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Father, I thank you so much for all the gifts that you've given us. They're so wonderful. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of choice. I get to choose. I get to choose Jesus, and I get to choose eternal life in heaven, or I get to choose eternal death in hell. I pray, Lord, if there's one here this morning who's not a Christian, that you'd continue to deal with them and draw them to you with your love and convict them with your Holy Spirit, and I pray, Father, they'll make the choice to confess and receive you as Savior. And Lord, for those of us this morning who are here who are Christians, God, help us every day to choose to be faithful to you and to choose to respond to the circumstances of our life the way you would have us to, with joy and with peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. 5:30 tonight. 12. I didn't put my address in there, did I? 1206 South 12. 5:30 tonight. You come. We'll have a good time. We have some more folks that want to join the church this morning. So at this time, we're going to open the doors to the church, and you guys come right on up. You guys come right on up. Turn around and let everybody look and see how good looking you are, Doug. Anybody else? Oh, here's another one. All right, this is Doug. I'm getting instructions from my wife. And Jesse. and Tammy and Jace and Justin and Ashlyn and Mason. I didn't see Mason. What's the pleasure of the body? All in favor say aye, thank you. All right, for our dismissal, come around and shake their hands and welcome them to our fellowship.